Hello, welcome to Restoration. This podcast features an interview with Tina Jantz by Vicki Dimmitt. This is a powerful testimony of God's deliverance from drugs and alcohol. Thanks for joining us.
I'm real excited about what you're going to hear tonight. It's going to be a really blessing. So when we go back to the beginning, we start with the crazy stuff and the insanity. So start us off and tell us, what was the insanity in your life before you came to recovery?
Hi, my name is Tina. I'm a blessed believer who God has saved from the struggles of drugs and alcohol.
Breathe.
I come from a very loving, dysfunctional home. At the early age of 4, I accidentally burned down our house and immediately lied and covered it up. That was the earliest memory of my mass life of lies and deception. I continued the lies until I got into recovery. My life became a cycle of drug abuse, deceit, people-pleasing, codependency, and selfishness. Even as a teenager, I was committed to a rehab facility. Not to stop my addiction, but just to avoid the wrath of my father for breaking into a home. Of course, my parents believing it was to stop my drug abuse. I would continue to use drugs off and on until I became pregnant with my son. Then my addiction turned to codependency, people-pleasing, which I believe is a sickness as powerful as drug addiction itself. During these years, I completely lost my identity. My identity was my husband, my kids, my family, and my business, which, of course, I came to resent, which caused the end of my 13-year marriage and the start of my deep depression and a return to an even heavier use of drugs and alcohol. The grief in my life seemed unbearable. The dreams and hopes of my life were shattered. I did remarry a wonderful, loving man who also had the same struggles with addictions as I did.
Okay, well, in between these questions, I'm going to give her a minute to wipe her nose and get herself, just to give her some time to breathe. But we all start somewhere. Our beginnings are somewhere, and they aren't the prettiest of places when we begin somewhere. So before recovery, we have to come to a place where we've got to come to the end of ourselves, meaning we're done. And so it's called our bottom. I like that word. So as we get to that place of knowing that I've got to stop and I'm at my end, we start the next phase. So this next question is, what was your end or your bottom?
My bottom came 10 years later. After 10 years of abuse to meth, pills, and alcohol, the abuse to my body and mind had taken its toll. During these years, I had all types of struggles. Breast cancer, which I had hoped the treatments would fail. Even then, wanting to die so the insanity of my life would stop. Of course, abusing the drugs they gave me to deal with the chemo. The struggles with my children from my addictions. Watching my husband become ill and having 3 open-heart surgeries, fearing he was going to die and I would be alone. My addictions thrived and my depression completely engulfed me. My mind playing like a broken record over and over and over, screaming to me in the end, "You will never stop this addiction. You will never have peace. You're worthless. Your loved ones would be better off without you than the mess that you're in today." So it was then that I made the most cowardly, selfish decision of my life. I tried to take my own life I was alone in a hotel room. And I knew my husband would be back at some point, but I didn't care. I was done with life. I didn't reach out to any of my loved ones. I was desperate for the insanity to stop. So I left a suicide note and took what should have been a fatal dose of sleeping pills. But by the grace of God, I awoke from my suicide only to find my husband dead. His heart had given out. This would prove to be the worst and best day of my life. God met me at the darkest moment of my life. And instead of the negative, hurtful record playing in my head, he spoke love to me. He told me he loved me and I did have a purpose and that he was going to heal me. That I wasn't alone, and it was there on my knees that my recovery began.
One of Tina's desires is the tears you're seeing are because God came in and did something for her that was just incredible. And she has so much joy and thankfulness and gratitude for that. So her prayer was not that she wouldn't cry. It was just that you might understand her through this. So we're going to take our time here. Well, God does find us in our darkest places. And I really believe that he finds us in our darkness so that he can pull us out into his light and his love, because we can't pull ourselves out. And to do what she did and to leave that suicide note and to survive and to find her husband dead and then to move on, and God met her in that room. She's allowed me to share with you so that you have an idea that she took over 80 Ambien that night. There's no way she should be sitting next to me right now. So this is a true miracle. So, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, how did you get into recovery?
Well, after the suicide attempt, I had myself committed to a psychiatric hospital. Even though I was terrified to speak in groups, I always felt weak and vulnerable. Crying in front of others, which, as you see, I do very well. I made the choice with God's help to fight for my life, and he has blessed me abundantly. So here I was in the psych hospital, no place to live, alone for the first time in my life, and miracle after miracle started happening for me. My loving brother Tommy and my sister-in-law Alana moved me from Austin to Houston. They took me into their home, and my sister-in-law, Alana, brought me to my first restoration service. I walked through these doors broken, hurting, not knowing what my purpose was, but knowing God had a purpose for me. The beautiful music, the teachings, and all the women in my small groups gave me hope. I learned through Christ there is healing, hope, and forgiveness. God placed everything and everyone there for me.
When she walked in that night, I'll never forget it. She walked in and I greeted her and said, "Hi, is this your first time?" And just straight as could be, she says, "Yeah, I just got out of a psych hospital. I tried to kill myself. My husband died and I don't know why I'm here. So this is my last stop and I don't know what God wants from me." And I was, "Okay, want some coffee?" Come on.
I don't even drink coffee.
And I introduced her to Tammy and directed her. And she came in that night, like most of us do, completely broken and at the end. And that's where God finds us, too. So, coming in broken, what have you done to work your program?
I immediately started attending church. Pastor Carey's messages were as if they were intended just for me, as God intended them to be. I went and bought all four Celebrate Recovery books and started attending the Thursday night step study. God gave me the strength and courage to speak and cry and face my struggles the way only he can. I was so ready for change and healing that I dug into my step study, never wanting to return to my former life. I listened to my sponsor. I arrived at work early to have quiet time with God and do my step work. I worked my inventory to the best of my ability. It took me over a year to complete. I can't describe the healing I received from this step. I would encourage everyone to take your time on this step and know that however small the hurt, it's important to write it down and share it with your sponsor and release it to God. And God will remove this hurt from your heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I've never seen anybody so surrendered and transparent. If I told her she had to stand on her head in a corner, she would have done it. I didn't have that willingness. I've been in this program 17 years. I don't think I still have the surrender that she has. And it's something I just admire in her. The next question is, which step or steps have influenced you the most and why?
The steps that have influenced me the most were steps 4 and 9. Step 4 is about taking a moral inventory of your life. The healing from my inventory was amazing. And step 9 is about forgiveness and making amends and asking for forgiveness. The healing I saw in others and received from others by going to the people I hurt was an incredible miracle. God softened their hearts and allowed miraculous healings in our lives. I needed to validate their hurts and tell them I was sorry and I love them. And would they please forgive me? And to witness this was truly a gift from God.
What I find real interesting, what she wrote down that I have never heard anybody say, was that she needed to validate their hurts. And I think that that speaks volumes to me. That's very powerful to validate the ones that we hurt. So we recover in here, we cover a lot of scriptures in the Celebrate Recovery and the step study. So what scriptures have spoke to your heart the most and what mean the most to you?
The scriptures that have influenced me most are God's wonderful promises and truths he has shown me. I love 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor.
Okay. It's on the screen, so you can read it.
Who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established and ground you, securely strengthen and settle you. Mm-hmm. I also love Psalms 50:15. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Mm-hmm. These two scriptures I've lived. And what God promises is absolutely true. He has wrapped his loving arms around me and rescued me from the insanity of my life, grounded me, and gave me a peace in my life.
When we dig in like she does and really dig into God's word, you do find comfort and healing, and there is hope where sometimes there seems like there's no hope. So this next question is, tell me about how your relationships with family and others have changed.
This is one of the areas God has showered his blessings and shown me favor. My relationships have gone from resentment, disappointment, hurt, distrust, unforgiveness, unnurturing, embarrassment, unstable, to grace, forgiveness, trust, and nurturing. A mother, a sister, and a friend that my loved ones are not embarrassed of and can count on. Just 6 months into my recovery, my ex-husband, my boy's father, died. I was able to be there for my children, clear-headed, sober, and still have the peace God had given me.
I think this is the cool part about recovery. If you think about the ministry that we have, restoration, we're here to restore what was lost, what was broken, what was damaged. And relationships are a key thing that is restored here. And I think that's just a testimony to this program that we have. So the next question is, what about your relationship with God? How has that changed your thinking, your behavior? in your beliefs?
I was brought up in church and have always believed in Jesus Christ, but I have never had a close personal relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I never understood when people said God spoke to them. And now I know. God is always there with me, and He speaks love and encouragement to me through others and through His Word. He wants to bless me. He gives me strength and courage. He tells me there is nothing I can't do with God at my side, that I can change my thoughts. I can on purpose weather any storm. My life has a good purpose, and my attitude and behavior can be positive and a blessing. The broken record in my mind that once shouted terrible things now shouts praises to God. He tells me I have worth and value and am significant to Him, and that life is full of hope, where it used to be full of despair. I am His daughter, a daughter in His kingdom. He gives me peace I have never known. The mask is removed, and it's finally okay.
I think removing the mask of denial is probably one of the biggest keys of taking that first step in recovery. If we don't remove it, it's difficult to go forward. It's not impossible, but it's difficult without removing that mask. So the next question is, what do you believe now about yourself?
I believe I was given the second chance, that I'm lovable and a good person, that my past mistakes will be used by God for good. Mm-hmm. He promises me not to waste or hurt. I can help by sharing my story, my trials, my victories. I now find joy in the smallest things, just getting up in the morning, being a mother, grandmother, sister, and friend, that this life is good, and that I never have to return to the insanity that was once my life.
Amen, sister. Yeah. Okay, so we have sometimes a lot of times every week we have somebody who's new here for the first time that's never been here. So what encouragement could you give to a newcomer?
That there is healing and hope in these rooms. There is no problem, addiction, or shame that can't be overcome with God. He is with you. This church is for you. And this ministry is here for you. Dig into your step work. Take off your mask. Take the risk and say what is on your heart and mind. Face step four like a warrior. You are worth it. And you will receive freedom. I ask the question, how sick do you want to be? Do you want to be sick or healed? If you do your part, God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. I would also encourage you to find some music that is uplifting. Mine was Mandisa and Mercy Me, both very powerful.
Okay, well, is there anything else that you would like to add or say before we
go? Yes, yes. I really want to thank some people. First and foremost, God. And my sponsor, Vicky. My family, Tommy, Alana, Pam, Herbie, Debbie, Scott, Chris, and Art. My best friend, Teresa, Rob, and Vicky. My nieces and nephews, and my wonderful children, Jean, Justin, Angela, Christy, and Melissa, who loved me during my mess and never gave up on me. Thank you all for your support. I can't ask for a better family, friends, and kids. I am a new woman who has found freedom. The chains of addiction have been broken, and I praise God every day for this freedom.
What's really amazing is the music, how it uplifted her. And she has chosen a song that she wants to share with you tonight. And it's by Mandisa, and it's called Freedom Song. And we're going to have the words up here. I'm going to turn you off so you don't sing in the mic.
Thank you.
Was that rude? Anyways, listen to this song. It's the most powerful song when we listen to it together. It just makes you want to stand up and jump. And if you feel that urge, do it. But it's called Freedom Song by Mandisa.
True love was torn apart, but then I met a heavenly father who made a home inside my heart. I am the man with the chains of addiction, dragging me down for way too long, but I came face to face with redemption, and now those chains are gone. Can anybody hear me? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you've been delivered like that, you've got to shout it out.
Lift your hands.
Guys, give it up. And Friday is her 2-year sobriety date. What a blessing.